Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Some of the stories in this episode use strong and offensive language. So just be aware if you're listening at home. For related, helpful resources, check out the show notes.
We all expected it, really. It's just a part of life, really. You don't really get the opportunity to be like, right, I'm going to do this big thing. I'm going to really make something myself. I'm going to go to university and study this for X amount of years and get this degree. There's not really any of that. It's literally just, right, I'm going to get by, do the bare minimum, and that's going to be my life. I'm going to work at, like, you know, wherever, go to the pub every weekend, and that's it, really. That's literally it. And just the cycle goes on and on and on.
This is You Don't Know Me. I'm Chloe Comby. This week, I'm speaking to teens about how critical school years are in shaping not only young people's future careers, but quite simply the quality of their life. The basic premise of school hasn't really changed in nearly 120 years. You go to a big building every day with hundreds or even thousands of other pupils, and you learn stuff. Until you sit the big exams, which send you off in the direction your life is going to take. But there's plenty of teens like 17-year-old Adam, whose voice you just heard, who bear the brunt of a system that is meant to be for everyone, but just doesn't have the resources to suit every child's needs. Adam is charming, smartly dressed, and very passionate about politics.
I was born into a very humble working class family. I usually say I was born with a number, not a name, because my family is the most uninteresting, I guess, just generic family there's ever been, really. We've just always kind of been in the background, just doing our own thing, you know. And I can't think anyone really who's ever had like a big impact on anything outside of just getting on with their lives, getting on with their work. In a way, I think that's really helped me stay grounded in life, because I've never really had anything that's given me the opportunity to like branch out to do things. You know, I've never really had that kind of opportunity. Maybe other people have as well. Growing up, again, I can't really go into much detail because there isn't much detail, really.
Describe your school to me.
On one hand, it's great because as a student, you know, as a teenager, I didn't care. I couldn't care less for education. You know, I was a class clown. I got excluded a bunch of times. Isolation, which is basically you get taken out of your classes all day and put to like a small room, basically like a prison. The windows have actually got like something on it where you can't see outside of it. You've got like cubicles for people, so you can't see other people around you in the room. You've always got a teacher there with you. Education-wise, the school was very lacking, you could tell, very, very lacking. I think in my 5 years there, we had about 4 head teachers. It was really bad. And like I said, in year 8 and 9, it was voted the worst school. And you didn't even need to stay there for long to realise that the facilities were absolutely terrible. The teachers couldn't care less. In a way, I don't really blame them, though. Behaviour-wise, it was just all over the place. You know, there were no people there to be like, right, we need to sort this out. They just kind of got on with it. It was absolutely abysmal. And I don't think if you asked anyone else from that school, they could tell you any different. I don't think it's a big surprise to many people that, in my year at least, only a handful of people went to university. Everyone else just like either went into like a low-income job or still unemployed.
What's that feeling like being 15 and thinking, shit, all that stuff about you can do anything you like and big dreams isn't available to us?
It's not true. It's a fantasy. I don't care who you are. If you grew up in where I grew up, you have no chance. Absolutely no chance. You have to literally dedicate your life. I knew one person and he absolutely dedicated his life to learning. He worked his socks off in that school and he really made it. I think he's currently studying medicine at university down south somewhere, you know, big university. I can only remember two people in my entire school like that. Everyone else, all the people I talk to at least from school, they've got low-income jobs. So they live a bad life. They're surrounded by other friends and family, but in terms of academic-wise, career-wise, they've got no chance to succeed. They're stuck in a bubble. There's hardly any source of, I guess, tangible jobs, really, even working like a local shop.
Is there kind of, with young people, your peers in the school situation, is it depressed, pissed off, despondent, hopeless? What's the kind of feeling?
I don't think it's depressed or hopelessness, because we all expected it, really. It's just a part of life, really. We didn't grow up thinking, oh, I'm going to become this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this. Everyone just grew up like, oh, yeah, I'll probably get a job in like a construction site, work for my uncle, like an electrician or something like that. Obviously, electrician is actually not a bad job, but you don't really get the opportunity to be like, right, I'm going to do this big thing, I'm going to really make something myself, I'm going to go to university and study this for X amount of years and get this degree. There's not really any of that. It's literally just, right, I'm going to get by, do the bare minimum, and that's going to be my life. I'm going to work at, like, you know, wherever, go to the pub every weekend, and that's it, really. That's literally it. And just the cycle goes on and on and on.
You described to me what got you excluded.
Yeah, there's a few stories. I remember one time I got excluded. I was arguing with this teacher one time. And, you know, this story going around school, like, oh, this teacher's a paedophile. I don't think you're ever true, but it was a bit dodgy. I'll say that much.
The teacher was dodgy.
Yeah, he used to, like, stroke girls' hands. They were like, can you be an IT teacher? I won't say I won't name his name. I was having an argument with him one time. He was really annoying me. And whenever I used to get annoyed at school, I used to, like, lash out, basically. You know, I used to, like, you know, not have really good control of my behaviour. So another teacher came and collected me. I was telling them about, like, what was happening and whatnot. And they took me to the this place called Head of Year's Room, which is basically, like, every year's got, like, a head of year or two head of years. And they're in charge of all the students in that year. And so I get sent there, I tell them what's happening. And they weren't really listening to me. I just said, like, oh, this fucking teacher is such a fucking nonce. I just kept calling him a nonce, and like, in front of all the head of years, and I'm like, this is going to get me excluded. And I remember one of them went, oh, damn, I know he's a bit dodgy, but you can't say he's a nonce. I shouldn't be laughing at this, but both my end of the years were just like, Adam, you caught me saying that. We have to take disciplinary measures. And I'm like, what, for me looking out for the people because he's a nonce? I weren't letting go on the nonce thing, and they're like, right, Adam, I'm sorry, but you have to exclude you for like the rest of the week or whatever.
You probably went to school with someone like Adam. His story probably triggered eye rolls as you remembered that kid who always misbehaved. Maybe your mate was Adam. Maybe you were Adam. State schools, or public schools in America, they really struggle to find a place for kids like Adam. Intelligent, but not academic. And brought up in a really deprived part of the country. Over a third of schools in the UK are underfunded by over £1 million. Meanwhile, 35% of school buildings fall below satisfactory standards. In the US, school underfunding has topped over $19 billion this decade, and that robs 30 million American high school students of a decent education. Europe is a mixed bag, with generous funding and enormous value placed on schools in Scandinavia, Finland and the Netherlands, where teenagers are, by no small coincidence, some of the happiest and most successful in the world. This isn't the school system's fault, and it's not the teachers' fault either. The real driver of this is government underfunding of the school system and massive social and economic inequality. Here's Ray. I've changed his name for the podcast to keep him anonymous. He's a really good kid, and he's just one of the thousands that's falling through the cracks. He was, by his own admission, no angel at school. But the question you have to ask yourself is, would he have ended up where he finds himself now if he'd been born into money or gone to a better school?
School sort of anchors you. That's the weirdest thing looking back at it. You hate it and slag it off so much of the time, but then the second it's done, you instantly wish it would come back. You wish you could go back to your old self, even just a year ago, and say, stop pissing around so much, pay more attention, and that kind of stuff. We all thought we were such gangsters at school. There would be all the chat about stupid shit, and there would be this constant, I'm going to stab this person, or I'm going to fight this person. Honestly, 90% of fights were all just talk and no action. We spent more time threatening each other on Snapchat than ever actually fighting. Honestly, the girls probably got into more actual fights than we did. The only fight I ever got into was a water fight on the last day of term. I think I say this because school makes you feel like a king. By the time you're in year 11, you rule and you go about like you own the place. Honestly, school was just the best. You get to spend all day with your mates. The teachers did everything for you, pretty much. There was free food, the chicken shop, chatting to all the pen girls, all the holidays when you could sleep all day. I'll go back into a heartbeat. School also gives you a life alibi. You don't have to do anything much to go to school. That's enough. And the second you're out, everyone instantly wants you to justify your life. It gets scary quickly. I actually did okay in my GCSEs. I thought about doing A-levels, but that's work, man. There's no way I could afford to go uni, though. I would love to. As soon as I finished school, my mum was on me to get a job. Like, she made it pretty clear that I got money or got out. She really struggles with her health, something to do with arthritis, and she's also diabetic. So having two jobs definitely took its toll. But I'm telling you, you try getting a job that pays and fits around studies at my age, plus there's this definite discrimination on gender and race. I definitely think people are much happier giving girls part-time jobs like in waitressing or hairdressing or something. There was nothing, I mean nothing. I asked everywhere, in supermarkets, shops, those pubs full of sad old men, in a barbershop, in restaurants, there's nothing. Everyone just took one look at me and said no, even though I look so good. It's even worse since COVID. Almost everyone I know who has a job has lost it and there's just nothing left at all. It's so scary, man. I don't know what the fuck is gonna happen. I was sort of desperate and we all smoked weed at school. I was never crazy about it like some of my mates would stay up all night smoking. I don't even know how much weed is for show and how much people really like it. It sort of depresses me and takes my mind to weird places. But anyway, I knew this boy who was selling some weed and he seemed to have a lot of money. I asked him about it and he offered to introduce me to the guy who was supplying him, and it was that easy. I mean, I tried. I really did, to be legit. And it's not that it's hard, it's just not possible. There's nothing for us. And how can it be you can't even get a part-time job in like Tesco? It's not gangster at all, dealing. It's stressful and boring. And it's not like back in the day at school when people had your back. You have to watch your back. And you're on call all the time. I thought weed would be enough, just like move a little bit and that would be enough, but not even close. Firstly, it's competitive. Everyone had the same idea that it'd be easy money, so you're competing. But the real money is in much more expensive class A's, like coke, and that just gets really dark. You get lent the gear to sell, so if anything happens at all, you're responsible for it. Shit happens all the time. There's rumours that people higher up the chain rob their own dealers, so they owe them and have to work for free, and even worse stuff than that. And you can't walk away. It's not like something you can just hand your notice in or quit. I don't know what to do. I honestly just want to go back to school.
I spoke to Vic Goddard. He's a principal at a school which shot to fame after a fly-on-the-wall documentary in 2011. After a few days of trying to find a time that worked for both of us, we caught up on Zoom.
There she is! Sorry about messing you around.
Don't be silly. You have a pretty good excuse of running a school.
It's mad this morning.
We got into a conversation about the devastating reality of school cuts, growing poverty and infuriating inequality, and how it impacts on millions of young lives in a very, very real way. Obviously, these interviews have referenced Britain and the British school system. But I've got to say, having interviewed loads of teenagers in Europe and the United States, school inequality and poverty are by no means just British problems. The COVID-19 pandemic has seen the arts industries in the UK and globally suffer hugely. I was interested to know what knock-on effect this would have for children studying or going into the arts when they grow up.
If you want, in a nutshell, to describe this government's challenge around what their views of the arts are and you know, all of those things. They can spout on about how important opera is, that's great, but if we're not instilling the love of those things in our children, then when they become adults, it's not there. My school bucks that trend. We have more dancers than we've ever had. We have more artists than we've ever had. We've got more kids choosing those creative subjects than we've ever had, because I think we say to parents, they've got to choose something they're going to love and fall in love with and make a life out of. And if that life doesn't mean make a career out of, it means find something that will be a thread throughout their lives. And if that's drawing, for me, that's sport. You know, it was playing. Now my knees are screwed. It's watching. You know, that thread goes through my life. And I learned that at school. I learned that with my family. I want that thread for children. And that thread is normally the arts or sport or something like that. It very rarely is it chemistry.
Do you feel like the economic inequality specifically for children and teenagers has gotten worse?
Without a shadow of a doubt. I mean, I would say that all you've got to do is look at the poverty map of England and compare it to the COVID map of England. And it makes it incredibly clear what the problem is with COVID and why it's an issue. And it comes back to poverty. And we cannot educate our children out of poverty alone. It's part of it. But actually, it's about societal change. We are part of that solution, not the whole solution. But of course, we are the only thing that's held up to the light over and over and over again as not doing enough to change it, you know? We do a lot of home visits, so I'm fortunate that parents invite us into their houses and we, you know, for conversations and stuff like that. And yeah, there's some of the living conditions of some of our families are atrocious. You know, I remember visiting a house some years ago where out in the tree outside it was full of hanging bags. And I'm like, what's that? And it's because they had their water cut off, so they were defecating into plastic bags and throwing it out the window. And then they're coming to school the next day and I'm taking them to do their top bun up. You just think it's mad.
School is the place where young people learn far more than just algebra and spelling. It's the place where they learn social skills, have their first experiences out of the home, where they make friends, sometimes lifetime friends, and it also sets the course for the rest of their lives. The fact that so many children and teenagers aren't being given a fair chance and the same opportunities as better-off kids, well, it matters, and there are consequences. I was a teacher myself for 4 years, so this episode in particular struck a chord for me. Every kid, the Adams, the Rays, and the thousands that have passed through Vic Goddard's school gates, should have their school years filled with promise and leave school with a sense that they can conquer the world. But so many fail to reach their potential and get value from their school years, because the school system is a bit outdated, it's underfunded, and therefore unable to treat kids like individuals, rather than a number, a statistic, or an exam result. Finland is a great example of a nation that's prioritised its school systems and recognised that schooling is only successful when socioeconomic variables and different learning personalities and interests are taken into consideration. There, they prioritise playtime. They have free higher education for all, and the emphasis is on learning for the enjoyment of learning. In turn, these kids leave school feeling happier, accomplished, and able to bring value to jobs, families, and other aspects of their adult lives. Of the teens I've met, those who had a wonderful experience at school, they tend to see the benefits later on. Similarly, those who've had a rough time, they often struggle later in life. It's actually our moral duty to try and ensure all kids get a decent education, because it gives them the best possible shot at a productive and successful adulthood. This is a Podimo podcast by Mermaid. I'm Chloe Combe. My producer is Rihanna Coleman, and our audio engineer is John Scott. And we've had production support from Jilly Archer. Hey, it's Chloe again. I would love to hear more thoughts and perspectives on this topic. It's a huge one, and there is much support behind amending the system to provide more equal opportunities for kids. If you've got an opinion or an experience you'd like to share, send me a voice note. I want to hear from teenagers, teachers, parents, anyone. You can find my email address in the show notes, but just for good measure, it's chloe@hellomermaid.com.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.